Lord of blessed faith, promise, missions given. I was in a position before. I was working and making good money, and ended up taking a job that better opportunities in the future, but I made less money. And we kept giving the same to missions, and couldn't afford to give the same to missions. We gave to missions anyway, and we kept giving and giving and getting tighter and tighter, and we kept giving and giving, and the next thing I know, I get another job at $5 an hour raise. I get another job. Keep giving the missions. So we raised our missions given, kept giving and giving, got a $4 an hour raise. The Lord the Lord is a debtor to no man. Never is. And if times get tight, that's when you ought to give more. We were here last year, not here, but in Alaska, and the church gave us a $1,000 check. Trying to bless the missionary. And we didn't understand that, but we went back home, and our home church had just, we're going through a building project and needed $1,000 to pay off what was left. So we gave $1,000. When a couple weeks later, we got it back again. A little while later on, the Lord put on our heart, we gave some substantial amount of money. It's about $6,500 we gave to the church, the home church. And a couple weeks later, lo and behold, it came back in $8,000. Now, I'm telling you, just because you live for God doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. Just because you live for God doesn't mean you're going to be rich, going to have everything taken care of. The Lord will bless your giving. The Lord will bless taking care of his people. The Lord will bless taking care of the church, bless taking care of the missionaries. And this word for Josiah Wambui. I talked to him on the phone, and I've never met him in person. I've heard a lot about him. I talked to him myself, and I was impressed. He's doing it, from what I can tell, he's doing a good work over there. I read some about him online. He's straight from what I can find. He's right. I'm telling you, the Lord will bless you for giving to him. The Lord will bless you. Church, the Lord will bless us. The Lord will bless this church for giving to the missionaries. Someone mentioned wanting a church building. Give to the missionary. See what happens. The Lord will bless you for it. John chapter 3. Sorry, that's enough of that. John chapter 3. Start reading there, verse number 15. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Brother Dill, would you open us up in prayer? A different type of message today. I think I said it every time I preach here already. You'll come to find out most of my messages, pretty much all my messages are different. I'm a different kind of preacher. I guess if we're all different, then none of them are different. Anyway, I'm preaching on a subject today that you've probably heard many times, a subject you heard, but through a passage you've probably never heard before. Just stay with me. I'm going to do my best to try to help you today. If there's any loss here this morning, I pray the Lord will convict you, pray you get saved for everlasting too late. I'm trying to help the church this morning. Or if anyone isn't sure, if you die right now, maybe you're not sure you go to heaven. Listen to me this morning. Please listen to me. I believe it'll be a help to you. Lord, so I can preach a little while on, but it's just a little old bush. It may sound kind of strange. First off, turn to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. I'll give you time to turn there. I'm not going to give you the full Israelite Egyptian history here. I don't have time for that. Moses had fled to the desert. He spends his time there, spends 40 years in the desert, walk around in circles. He meets God at the burning bush. God tells Moses to go redeem God's people out of Egypt. Moses says, I can't do that. God says, you can't. They argue back and forth. Moses goes along and picks up his brother Aaron, because he's too chicken to go talk to Pharaoh by himself. So they go back to Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron. They stand before Pharaoh. They say, let my people go. Moses says, no. God hardens Pharaoh's heart over and over and over again. God hardens Pharaoh's heart. He says, no. God sends a plague. Pharaoh says, okay, you can have them. God hardens his heart. He says, never mind. Send another plague over and over and over again. Well, they send the lice. Isn't that how we read last night with the kids? The Lord sent the frogs. Can you ladies imagine having frogs? They have frogs on the people, in their bedchambers. They have frogs in their ovens, in their kneading troughs. Imagine pulling a fresh baked loaf of bread out of the oven, having frog legs sticking out of the edge of it. That's the position they were in. A little side note here, the Lord got right. They repented. Moses said you can let people go. God killed the frogs, but God left the frogs there. Same with sin. We talked about some this morning. Sin in your life. You can sin all you want. You can get forgiveness. If you have true repentance, you can get forgiven of your sins. But those dead frogs are still going to be hanging around. Those scars don't go away. Life is not a pencil you flip over and erase the scars you made. You can sin all you want. The frogs are still going to be there. Somebody's got to shovel them up and get them out of the way. Anyway, that one's free. So they're going through all these plagues. Egyptians here, they're going through all these plagues. Moses and Aaron are trying their best to get their people out of Egypt. Pharaoh is not letting it happen. So we get down to verse number 12, of chapter number 12. This is the last plague there. It says, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I would execute judgment. I am the Lord. Up until this point, these plagues, they've been on the Egyptians and not on the Israelites. Down in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites are staying, they didn't have the darkness, they didn't have the lights, they didn't have the frogs. They were taken care of. But this plague here, this is for the entire people. Egyptian and Israel alike, this plague is going to cover up all of them. The Lord gets Israel involved in the last one. The Lord is going to institute something here for the Jews. It's going to take place the rest of the Jewish history. He's going to institute Passover. This is the first time it's going to happen. This is where Passover comes into place. A very important portion of Scripture. They're doing some work ahead of time. They're gathering, they're sacrificing the lamb. Notice verse 3 and 4 of that same chapter. It says, "Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the house will be too little for the lamb, let he and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." The lamb was never too small for the house. The house might be too small for the lamb. This whole passage here is nothing but a picture of Jesus Christ, what Passover is. Picture of Jesus Christ is one day he's going to come back. He's going to die. He's going to rise again. This is the picture of that. The lamb here, picture the lamb. The lamb is never going to be too small for the house. Jesus Christ is never going to be too small for those souls here on earth. We're going to have too much. We're going to have to share it with our neighbors because we've got too much. The lamb is never too small. The lamb is very much too big. Anyway, we see there's some preparation ahead of time. Verse number 21, the same chapter again, a few verses ahead. "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning." He tells them to take a lamb, tells them to kill the lamb, takes his blood in a basin and put it on the doorpost. You can get really deep and lost in this. There's a lot of different things you can study about this past year. But in Egypt's day, I'm going to try to simplify just one part of it. In Egypt's day, there's known what is called a threshold covenant. At the threshold of their homes was a bowl or a basin and the threshold of the door. The Egyptians, when they would come together and make an agreement between two men or between a man and an Egyptian false god, they would kill a lamb or kill an animal and let his blood run down into this basin there at the threshold of the door. They would take the blood with their hands. They'd pick up the blood and smear it on the door. The one coming into the home would step across the basin into the door, and that agreement would be made. That covenant relationship would be made between those two people. Threshold covenant is what it's called. The Lord here is doing away with all these Egyptians' wicked traditions and proving that he himself is the one true, only God that they can serve. He tells the elders of Israel, the leaders of the different households, tells them to kill a lamb, tells them to feed their own families, and then with the blood that's left over in that basin, they would dip it out, spread on the lintel, and the lintel overhead, and the two side posts on the side of the door. That's what he told them to do. This basin here, mentioned in this verse, is a Hebrew word. I don't speak Hebrew, but Hebrew word calf. It's translated here as basin. You can look throughout Scripture. Most of the time, it's translated as door. The same Hebrew word is door or basin, over and over and over again. Sometimes it's translated as threshold. Throughout Scripture, it can mean different things, but it's always talking about this one basin and the threshold. I was really confused. Okay, is it a door or is it a basin? Which one is it? Basin is like a bowl. Well, which one is it? Lord, never don't make any mistakes. There's no mistakes in the Bible. If you study long enough, you'll figure it out. The basin was in the threshold and the door. It's all together, one piece. So this basin they're dipping from, this basin, this bowl of blood that they're dipping from, the blood of the lamb, is in the threshold of the door, right at the front door, threshold of their home. They would kill the lamb there, blood run down into the basin, They take the blood and do what the Lord told him to do with it. So these men, they have sacrificed their lambs. The blood has run out. And now he doesn't just tell them to throw it on. He doesn't tell them to stick their hands in the blood. He doesn't tell them to throw it on there. He does them to take a bunch of hyssop and dip the hyssop in the blood from the basin and use the hyssop to spread the blood on the lintel and on the side post. Why hyssop? What's the point of hyssop? Hyssop throughout the Bible. You go throughout the Bible. We're going to get some other passages today as well. Hyssop is always a picture of repentance by faith. Hyssop is a plant. It's an herb. It's very humble. A humble plant, if you want to call it that. Hyssop is a very short plant. It's tallest. It's about 1 to 2 feet tall. So it's not up in the air. We can't reach it. It's not a tree. We can't reach the branches. It's a small, humble, short plant. Repentance is something you're gonna have to go after. You're gonna have to look for it. It's not something that's gonna pop up in your way. It's not a big tree. It's not something tall you're gonna have to reach for. Repentance is very humble. Repentance, you're gonna have to bow yourself down. You're gonna have to humble yourself to grasp hold of repentance. If you're gonna repent, you got to humble yourself before God. You can't be prideful and repent at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Repentance is taking what you've done, saying, "Lord, I'm sorry," turn 180 degrees and go in the exact opposite way. That's what repentance is. It's humble. The hyssop was humble. It was very common. It's hyssop. It's a common plant that grows where everybody can get to it. Over in, I think it's 1 Kings, they mention hyssop growing in the cracks of the wall. I read where it grew in the cracks of the wall. It's most native to the southern Europe, to Egypt. It's native to that land. It's a common plant. It's everywhere you walk. Maybe somewhere here you walk across through the sidewalk and step on the grass coming through the cracks of the sidewalk. That's what hyssop was in this land. Common plant. Everybody saw it all the time. Usually it was in their way. Hyssop was a common plant. Repentance is for every man. Repentance is a common thing. No man is above it. No man is below it. It's where everybody can reach it. No man is too good to repent. No man is not good enough to repent. Repentance is for every person. It's very common. It's for common people, common man. I'm glad because I'm a very common man. I'm nobody special. Repentance is for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, what status you may have in the community, how much money you may have. Repentance is for everybody. That's how this way this hyssop was. Picture repentance. It's medicinal. Nowadays, hyssop is used for different medicinal purposes. You can grind the flowers up. You can buy hyssop oil. You actually buy hyssop oil on Amazon right now. This oil is used for all sorts of things. Used for sore throats, liver problems, digestive problems, a whole list of things you can use hyssop for. Repentance is the same way. Repentance can relieve a lost, hurting soul. No other cure can do anything for it. Repentance can take care of it. That's what this plant is. This plant here, it's not by accident. The Lord's going to use hyssop to dip in the blood. Hyssop in the scripture is a picture of repentance by faith. That's what it is, repentant faith. It's dipped in blood, sprinkled on the door. It's a picture of salvation. We, by faith, by repentance, by faith, accept the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. Notice where he put the blood. He didn't tell him just throw the blood on the door. He says he put it on the lintel. That lintel is the top portion of the door. You would know, Albert would know more about that. He says to put it overhead. Put it above you first. Repentance is the same way. Repentance starts between you and God. Between you and God, the one on the top, between you and him is where repentance starts. He said to spread on the two side posts. Not only must we repent our wrongs to the God, the one above us, we're supposed to repent our wrongs to the ones around us as well, the ones beside us. You can't do somebody wrong and never get it right and expect God to use you. Repentance is around you as well. So repentance, he told him here, is both horizontal and vertical. What's the picture of that? What's that picture of? Picture of the cross. So horizontal and vertical. Picture of the cross. He didn't say anything about underneath. He said, I used to say that he wasn't spread underneath because you're not supposed to step on, trample on the blood of Christ. And that's correct. What did that say in verse number 22? You should take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that's in the basin and strike the lintel on the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin, and none of you should go out of the door of his house until the morning. They weren't going to walk across the blood because they weren't supposed to go out of the house. So even the blood is on the threshold, even if it is on that basin threshold, they wouldn't be trampling on the blood of Christ because they're supposed to be staying in the house. I believe it wasn't spread underneath because it was already underneath. It was in the basin there, in the threshold of the door. So what is this hyssop here? It's a picture of repentant faith that we must have to get saved. I promise I'm going somewhere. I know I'm boring you this morning. They carry the same picture throughout the rest of Scripture. You can look at something in the Bible. It's called first mention principle. When something's mentioned the first time, it carries that same meaning throughout the rest of Scripture. Hyssop here, picture of repentance by faith, is going to carry that out throughout the rest of Scripture. So we see they had some preparation here in this chapter. In Passover, there's some preparation. And also a proceeding of the Passover. Now, see in verse 23, it says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you." He says he will pass over the door. That Passover in Hebrew means to hesitate. So God is saying when the Lord is walking through and he sees the blood on the door, he sees the blood of the Lamb, spotless Lamb, when he sees that blood, he says he'll hesitate and let the destroyer pass on by you. That's what the picture is. When you're saved, when you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, with that blood of the spotless Lamb, Jesus has been slain. You ask your with repentance, you ask for it, you are forgiven. Jesus says he'll guard your door so the destroyer cannot get in. We take that hiss, that repent of faith, we accept his blood. We ask forgiveness by putting it above us and beside us. We ask forgiveness, we repent. He says he'll stand guard for us, not let the destroyer in the beginning. All I have to do is accept the blood, apply it, and the Lord will stand guard for us. Is he standing guard at your door today? You might say, well, I'm going through a lot of trials, nobody's standing guard for me. Satan cannot get to you. Lord allowed Satan to tempt Job. Lord allowed Satan to do a lot of things to Job except take his life. Did the Lord ever take his hands off of Job? No. Satan got to him, but he couldn't touch his life. There's always, if you are saved today, the Lord's going to take care of you. The Lord's going to watch over you. You may go through trials. You may go through affliction. You may not understand why you're going through what you're going through. But there is a God of Jesus Christ at the door watching over you, guard over your home, guard over your life. The Lord's going to take care of his own people. It's amazing that some things you can find in the Old Testament that all point forward to Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Salvation was not an afterthought of God. God didn't get to the end of the Old Testament, get a New Testament, and say, well, they don't want to kill these lambs anymore. I guess I better do something else. The whole plan the whole time was for Jesus to come and die for me and you. Jesus is spotless lamb, always has been. The Old Testament is always looking, pointing forward to Jesus Christ. The New Testament is pointing back at Jesus and what he did for us. That's what this is. Salvation is not an afterthought. Salvation has been planned from the beginning. So this blood here, this hyssop, this repentance is used for redemption. Number two is used for refining. It says in Leviticus 14:4, you don't have to surrender fruit to you. Then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, as cedar wood, as scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that the one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. They shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. And I said, that sounds really crazy. What are they talking about? Not only can you be redeemed with the hyssop, with the repentance, you can refine. God will clean you up. The same hyssop used in Leviticus is used in Exodus, used here in Leviticus, and the purification process of a leper. A pastor just read to you. A leper, you know, when a leper first had leprosy, they'd be kicked out of town. They weren't allowed back in the town. If they were healed, they had to go to the priest, had to be cleansed, had to be ceremonially cleansed before they allowed back into the city. That's what they're doing here. This passage here is how they would ceremonially cleanse a leper. They would take the two birds and the blood and the hyssop, and they would cleanse the leper so he's allowed back into the city again. Not only will God allow the hyssop to redeem you, the repentance to redeem you, he will pronounce you clean and worthy to go into the city. I believe it's a picture of heaven here. Not only does he save you, he says you're worthy to go into the city. If you're saved one day, we will be going to that city. That no, we're not worthy on our own. We're just like a bunch of lepers, not worthy to step into the city on our own. No good, rotten lepers is what we are. Not worthy to get into the city on our own. But because of repentance, because of Calvary, that ability to repent and be cleansed from our sins, Lord will allow us into that city. Through that common repentance by faith, that common hyssop, we're able not only to be redeemed of our sin, we're able to be cleaned up and allowed to step in the presence of God. Glad God doesn't save us and leave us down here on our own. We have a home awaiting for us over there. If you're saved, it says John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Heard some before say, Lord's going to build my mansion. Mansion's already there. My pastor says, Lord's going to put your name on the mailbox. You can, Lord, through that repentance, Lord can redeem you, Lord can refine you, can clean you up, allow you into heaven, allow you into that city. Repentance is also used for removal of some things. Psalms 51:7, one verse there, I'll read it to you. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Not only can God redeem you and refine you, he can remove some things that don't belong as well. David says here, wash me. David, the psalmist here, wash me, cleanse me. I should be whiter than snow, whiter than snow. Even snow has some impurities in it. He said, I'll be cleaner than that. God, take that old hyssop, that old humble, common repentance. He can take that and he can wash away every sin you've ever committed in your life. Lord, can take that repentance work and clean you up, cleaner than you've ever been before, allow you into sin, allow you to be redeemed, work and clean some things out of your life to be able to use you. The Lord can't use a dirty vessel. You might say, well, I'm not good enough to be saved. I've done a lot of sins. I've done a lot of things wrong. As long as you have that hyssop, as long as you have that repentance, as long as you are repenting, God can wash away every sin you've ever done, ever committed. Like I said, some people make some false repentances. Some people say they're sorry. They're really not sorry. They're going to go back out and do the same thing again. Don't expect God to forgive you that. Repentance is when you're going this way, say, sorry, Lord, I'm going to go this way now. That's what repentance is. If you have true repentance of what your sins you've done, Lord can wash away anything you've ever done. I've heard preachers down south say before, you can't clean a fish until you catch it. A lot of times we want people's problems to be fixed. We want their sins to be gone. We want them to be perfect before they come into the house of God. That's not the way it's going to work. You can't get clean until you're caught. Lord can't clean up your life and use your life until he saves you first. This psalmist here, he says, Lord, cleanse me. Use that repentance. Clean me up. Lord, to clean up whatever problem you might have, whether you think it's possible or not, Lord can clean you up. Lord can use you. Lord can turn your life around. David here. David's done a lot of things wrong. A lot of very bad things wrong. Yet the Lord has used David probably more than anybody else, as much as anybody else in the scripture. Lord can use you. Lord can use whoever he wants to use. Repentance can take care of that. Now, once you are saved, God will begin to clean and work in you. Psalmist says here, Lord, take the hyssop, make you clean. Lord, clean some things out you didn't think you needed to get gone. Lord, take care of some things. I'm glad God will save us, and I'm glad he'll clean us up. Not only that, not only was used for redemption, not only was it used for refinement to allow you into the city, it was used for removal of some sins that don't belong in your life. Not only that, you can turn over to John chapter number 19. It's used by the Redeemer himself. John chapter 19. In this passage here, Jesus is on the cross. He's been brought before Pilate. He's been given a charge to crucify him. He's taken to Golgotha. He's on the cross. He's been there for a while now. He's bleeding. He's getting to the end of things. Getting to the end of his ministry there. And you're going to pick up there in verse number 25 of John chapter 19. John 19 says in verse number 25, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. If you don't know this passage, this is Jesus pointing to the disciple and telling the disciple to take care of his mother. Tell his mother to go to the disciple. You look for him for help. I'm not here anymore. You go to him now. Wouldn't it be something for the Lord to be able to be so close to the Lord? The Lord be able to point at you and tell you to take care of his mother, his own earthly mother. Very important person here. And saith he to the disciple, This is John, by the way. Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. Like I told you, throughout scripture, his repentance has been used. Jesus has everything to repent of. Why is a hyssop here in this passage? God used hyssop for redemption in Exodus. He used it for refinement in Leviticus. He used it for removal of some things in Psalms. Now the Redeemer himself is using it in John. You know, this place used the hyssop to hold the blood to be applied. They would take the hyssop, sop it in the blood, and use the hyssop to apply the blood from the lamb to the sin. Instead of the blood from the lamb being applied to the sin, I said it again, instead of the blood from the earthly lamb being taken with the repentance and applied to the sin, our sin now is placed on the repentance, placed on the hyssop, and applied directly to the Lamb. Here in this passage, they took the hyssop, they took the sin that everything on the earth needed. He's finishing up his time here on the cross. They took that repentance, they gave it to the Lamb that was able to wash away all of our sins. We don't have to kill our own lamb, take the hyssop, and apply it to our sins. Just take your sin directly to the Father. Take your sin directly to Jesus Christ. Take your sin directly to the Lamb. That's what hyssop is pictured here. You don't just take those dirty old rotten sins you have headed for death and hell. You wrap them up in repentance by faith and take them directly to the Savior. He'll handle them for you. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what we're doing when we're saved, is it not? We are taking our sins, We're wrapping them up in that history, wrapping them up in repentance, and we're taking them directly to the Lamb. Saying, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Lord, I can't handle it on my own. I can't go sacrifice a lamb and take care of it on my own. Lamb, Lord, you just take it for me. In case you haven't noticed yet, the subject I preached on many times before, you've heard many times before, is salvation. All throughout Scripture, God has coordinated the use of this bush just to be a picture for us to point to Him, point to the salvation on the cross through Him. God died for you. God rose for you. God took His blood and has it waiting in heaven. He's already applied to the emergency. It's already done, the sacrifice is already taken care of. All you have to do is put your old dirty, rotten sins in that that hiss of the plan of repentance and take it to the Lamb. He'll take care of the rest. And give it to Him. He'll accept it. He says in this verse, it is finished. It's already done. Once saved, always saved. Once sin is forgiven, sin is always forgiven. Unless it's committed again, your sin's taken care of. Why don't you just bring it to Him? The Lord's done so much for you. You really think the great God of heaven isn't enough to forgive the sins you have? You think God in heaven, one that created everything, is not good enough to forgive you? That's what you're saying when you say that. One man said, if we put off repentance another day, we have a day more to repent of and a day less to repent in. We run out of time on this earth. We're not promised another day. We're not promised tomorrow. We can walk out here today and die. And if we're not saved, go to hell. If you are saved, go to heaven. Thank the Lord for that. We're not promised another day. Repentance is for today. Repentance is, if you're going to get saved, you better do it now. Whenever that now is, you better do it now. Whenever the Lord tells you, you better do it then. Lord's only going to ask you so many times. Lord's going to take a hint. You don't want anything to do with Him. Get saved while you can. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 1 John 1:9, the verse we read this morning. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse right there, it requires God to forgive us of our sins. It says if we confess our sins, it says He is just, He is faithful and just. He has to forgive us our sins. The Lord has to do that for us. Lord, we'll do that for you. All heads bowed, all heads closed. Musicians, if you will go ahead and come up here. Any here this morning, they might say, well, that's all well and good, that repentance stuff is good, but I've never experienced that myself. Maybe it's not for me. If you're here this morning, by raising up your hand, let's say, I've never personally accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I never asked Him to forgive me my sins. I've never taken that repentance. I've never taken my sins through repentance to Him. If you're here this morning to say that, today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. You better get it done while you can. We're running out of time on earth. We talk a ton about how wicked the earth was, how wicked the earth is, how the Lord's coming back soon. We don't really take that to heart. If we did, we'd be trying to get everybody here to get saved. Everybody on earth. If today was your last chance, what would happen? Where would you go? Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for these people here. I thank you for opportunity this morning to share your gospel again, Lord. Lord, I pray my stomach and words, Lord, pray you help us touch somebody's heart. Well, maybe it's in the lost this morning to get saved, but too late. Maybe there are some saved here, Lord. I believe there are saved here. I pray encourage them, Lord, to keep on going, Lord. I pray help our church here.